This message was recorded February 14, 2021. The speaker is David Simpson.
John 17 is our text. Your Bible is beginning to fall open there, and it probably will because we're going to be here for a while. Let's read the first three verses together. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now Jesus referred to himself in the third person, not as I, but as the Son, for a particular reason. And it was to emphasize the solemnness of this occasion for the hearing of his disciples. In verse 1, Jesus made a clear distinction between himself and the Father, because he said, Father, and then he said, Son. These are designations of relationship. When he adds an attribute such as holiness or righteousness, then that becomes a designation of praise. And both of these are revelations to us. So you have designations of relationship and designations of praise. In verse number 3, at the end of the verse, Jesus said, The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The key here is the little word and, A-N-D. In the Greek language, it is chi. And chi can be translated by the word or. So it could be that he said here, the only true God or Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. But that makes no sense and is not consistent with the context, and so you would not translate it or. It could be the word even. So chi sometimes is translated even. If that were it, it would say the only true God, even Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. If it were translated by even, then that would make the Father and the Son the same without distinction. But then you have a problem. What do you do with that phrase, whom thou hast sent? So it cannot be or, and it cannot be even. The only other choice you have is chi means and. So when he says the only true God and, that means distinction, Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So who did the sending? Well, that would be the Father. And who is it that was sent? That is the Son, Jesus Christ. So if you cannot see the distinction between the Father and the Son, it is not because it's not clear, it's because you don't want to. Because the clarity is certainly present in these verses. Now I want you to go back with me. I'm still talking about this matter of the Father and the Son today. I'll move on next week, but I still want to talk about this a little more. So I want you to hold your place. I'll come back here in a little while, but I want you to go to the Psalms. I don't want you to go to Psalm 110. I've referred to this in the last 2 weeks, but today I want you to feast your eyes upon it. And one of the reasons is because I have made a mistake the last 2 weeks, and I want to straighten out that little mistake that I made. In Psalm 110 and verse 1, it says, The Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now look at the word Lord, or the name Lord. And first of all, you have Lord. The first one are all capital letters, L-O-R-D in caps. And then you come to the second Lord, and the L is capitalized, of course, because it's a proper name. But then the O-R-D are in small letters. So what does that mean? Well, what I said before was that the first one is Adonai said to Yahweh, but that is incorrect. It is Yahweh or Jehovah. So from this time forward, I'll simply pronounce it Jehovah. but in the original language, it's actually Yahweh said to Adonai. Adonai means the sovereign one, or it's translated master, or my master, or my Lord. But then Yahweh, or Jehovah, it means the self-existent one, the self-existent one. But I want you to see that this passage is referred to by our Lord in the New Testament. So now I want you to, you can leave this and go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, the first gospel in the New Testament, and find verse number 41. Now you'll also find Psalm 110 referred to in Acts 2, verse 34 and 35, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 25, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, and Hebrews 10 and verse 12 and 13. So I think we can say this is a very important statement and reference. But I want you to look in verse 41 of Matthew 22. This is Jesus referring to this passage. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What think ye of Christ, that is, of Messiah? Whose son is he?" And they said unto him, "Well, he's the son of David." And they mean by that that he'll be the offspring of David, not the direct son of David, but an offspring of David. So he said unto them, "How then does David," so he attributes this Psalm 110 to David, "how does David in spirit," that is being led by the Spirit, "call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." And David then called him Lord, then how is he his son? So what Jesus was saying to them at this passage refers to me. And what he is saying is that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, said unto me, Adonai, he said unto him, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, and so forth. And so he is saying that that is him. So I want to talk a little bit about the names of God this morning that are given to us. In this passage, Adonai is normally referred to in a plural, and so by the Adonai is be spelled in English, A-D-O-N-A-I, and that would be plural, and so it would be lords. It would be lords. Referring, therefore, to the plurality of God, which we know by more revelation from God in the New Testament, that that is three, Father, Son, and Spirit. But in Psalm 110, David made a distinction, and it's not Adonai, but it's Adoni. It's A-D-O-N-I, but without the A-I on the end. So that makes it singular. So what he said is that Jehovah said to my Adoni, Christ being the co-equal, therefore, with the Father and the Son. Now, I know this sounds complicated, but I'm trying to make this as clear as possible because it's important for us to understand. In the Old Testament, there are 12 different names that are given to God. I'm not going to talk about all 12, but I want to talk about three of them. Three of the names that are given to God. First of all, the first name that is given to God is the name Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. The root is El, E-L, and the word El in the Hebrew is the word power. So Elohim refers to God as being powerful. It's the first and the only name that is used of God in Genesis chapter 1. It first appears in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim, in the beginning, God, the all-powerful being, created. It also is plural, therefore refers to gods, therefore to the plurality of God, and by further revelation, again, we know that means that the God is three, the three in one, but it is always translated singular because God is one and is translated God, but that is Elohim. And then the second one is that one I've referred to as Yahweh It would be just simply a Y and an H and a W and an H, and they put no vowels in there. In time, over time, vowels were added and it became Jehovah. So there would be no pronunciation. It was such a holy name that they would not pronounce that name. But the name Yahweh or Jehovah comes from a passive verb and it means to be. So Jehovah is His covenant name, and therefore it is an active name, and it means that God will always be the covenant God. But to be means that God is self-existent, God is eternal, God is immutable or unchangeable, and it is always translated by capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. God is the all-powerful one. God is the self-existent one. Now I want you to go back with me to the book of Genesis, and I want you to see these two names together. Remember I told you that in Genesis 1 that all you have is the name Elohim? But when you come to the second chapter, the name Jehovah or Yahweh is added to that. So in the first chapter, He's simply talking about the general creation, but in chapter 2, He's talking particularly about God's relationship to man, and therefore this name Jehovah is added. So if you look in verse number 4, if you look down in that verse about two-thirds of the way through, you'll see Lord God. In verse 5, Lord God. In verse 7, Lord God. In verse 9, Lord God, and so forth. Every time when you look through this chapter, you're going to see Lord and you're going to see God. So what is the importance of that? What is it that's being said here? This is Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. So it is God who, this Lord God who made the heavens and the earth. Now stay with me because I'm going to show you something that you don't see right off. Genesis 1, again, I'm going to say it again, concerns the creation in general. But in Genesis 2 and forward, it is God's special relationship to man. Is Jehovah, I ask this question, is Jehovah a reference to Son, to the Son, and Elohim a reference to the Father? Wouldn't have to be, but I'm going to show you something that suggests that. Because in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, it is the Lord God. There's only one place where it's referred to God, or two places, but by one voice. Look in chapter 3, verse number 1, it's Lord God. But in verse 3 and in verse 5, He simply says God. God has said. In verse 5, God doth know. But who is speaking? That is Satan who is speaking. And Satan doesn't refer to Him in His relationship name. He refers to Him in His powerful name, and that is Elohim. Elohim hath said. Elohim doth know. But then I want you to come on down, and He begins to speak again about His relationship name. In verse number 8, the Lord God. The Lord God. In verse 9, the Lord God. Verse number 13, the Lord God. Verse 14, the Lord God. Come all the way down and look in verse 22. Look at this. And the Lord God said, behold, man is become one of us. What does us mean? Plurality. Plurality. So I suggest to you that Lord refers to the Son and God refers to the Father. Behold, man is become one of us. I'm not trying to explain the other parts. I'm just talking about the name and how that name is used. The Lord God meanings, I suggest, not everybody would agree, Lord refers to the Son and God refers to the Father. Therefore, the Lord God, but notice it's singular. See, it's not plural, not lords and not gods, but the Lord God. And here it is singular, but in plurality. Then I want you to come on down into chapter number 4. And in chapter number 4, Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife. She conceived and bare Cain. and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. So now then, it's not Satan who is doing this. It is Eve who is saying this. I have gotten a man from the Lord, and if that is so, then that is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his messianic name. This is his name as the sovereign one. And again she bare brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. I would suggest to you that she thought that the bearing of this first son was the answer to the promise that she would bear a son who would be the Messiah, who would bruise the head of the serpent. But what we know is that first son Cain was just a fallen man. He was just a fallen being. He was a bad man. He was the first murderer in all of history. But she refers to him by that singular Lord. Not Lord God, but Lord. Now, I'm not trying to develop everything that we would see here, but by this name. And what we see is the translation of that. Let me move ahead just a little bit. I'm going to come back. But the Old Testament, what was put together, same Old Testament books that we have are the same Old Testament books that Jesus had. But 200 to 300 years before Christ, and I put it like that because it was over a long period of time, the Hebrew was translated, the Hebrew Old Testament, was translated into Greek. And that Greek translation is called the Septuagint. And when they came to these names, they simply translated, like I've told you, Elohim, God, to make that distinction, from Lord, capital L-O-R-D, could be to Elohim or to Jehovah, God to Elohim, Lord, L-O-R, capital, all caps, that would be to Jehovah, but then the small O-R-D, that was to Adonai. Remember that Jehovah said to Adonai. It's the way it's translated. And so Lord then in the New Testament, have I confused you? In the New Testament, that Greek word is kurios, but the kurios of the New Testament is the Adonai of the Old Testament, and that is Christ. So now with you totally confused, let me try to go forward and try to explain. So it's always a little difficult when we get into these names, and I'm sorry for confusing you. I want you to turn with me to Exodus 3. Maybe this will help us clarify a little. Go to Exodus 3. In Exodus 3, you remember that God had told Moses that he wanted him to go and to speak to him, speak for him. And Moses said to the Lord, well, I don't even know who you are. Who should I say sent you? Who has sent me? Well, look what he answers here in verse number 14. And God, so that would be Elohim, same as you have in Genesis 1, said unto Moses, I am that I am. So there is a duplication of the names Jehovah. He simply said, to be. I am, doesn't make sense to us, but I am the to-be God. I am the self-existent God. I am the eternal God. I am the immutable God. Tell them I am has sent you. Now then, I want you to go with me to the New Testament. With that in mind, I want you to go with me to the New Testament. I want you to look, please, in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Who is the I am of the Old Testament? That is Jehovah back there. But look what Jesus said. In John chapter 8, verse number 58, very important verse. You ought to have it underlined or circled as a verse to look at and think about. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. And you know that we've gone through and we've looked at all the places in our study where Jesus, in John most particularly, and then into Revelation, those places where he said, I am. I tell you that he is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, and he's declaring that I am in the New Testament. So to make these names to be solely or singularly only refer to the Father and not the Son, I think is a mistake. When Jesus says that I am, he is referring to himself as the Jehovah. Now go back with me to Psalm number 8, where we read a minute ago. What does it say? So now these first two names mean a little bit more to you when you read this, don't they? When I first read them to you, they didn't mean much to you. It just was, O Lord, our Lord. But now look at it. He said, O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So what is the translation? That is Jehovah, our Lord. What is that? That is Adonai, the all-powerful one. One name is not better than the other. I don't want you to get the idea that Elohim is better than Jehovah or Jehovah better than Adonai. It's not any better. It's just a different name describing the same God. O Lord, therefore refer, I think, to the Father, our Lord, now to the Son, how excellent is thy name. Two beings, one name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This is a reference to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 27, it says, For he, that's the Father, hath put all things under his feet, because that's here in verse number 6. He, the Father, hath put all things under his feet, that's the Son. When he has said, put all things under him, is manifest, all things are under him. So in the Greek, this is the Elohim, this is Jehovah, this is God. In the Greek, this is Adonai, this is Kyrios, this is the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, this is the Father and the Son with one name. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Acts in chapter 9. Chapter 9. Of Acts. Here is Paul, a very trained man, highly educated man. He had been to college, been to the university, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a very trained man. Look what he says in chapter 9, verse 4. He's on the way to Damascus. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said unto him, Who art thou? Lord. What is that word Lord? It is Kyrios in the Greek. It is Adonai in the Hebrew or the Old Testament. And the Lord, that is Adonai. And so who is this? This is Jesus. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to fight against the pricks. It's a picture of an animal being pricked, an ox being pricked to do his work. And he trembled and he astonished, saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Rise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay, Jesus is Lord. He is not a man who is among them. He is outside of them. His voice is speaking, but he is not seen. He is the Lord. He is the Kyrios. He is the Adonai. Go with me to chapter 17 of Acts. Chapter 17 of Acts. I'm not giving you all of the places. I'm just giving you some places to see these names that describe our God to us. In Acts 17, Paul is speaking on Mars Hill to the Athenians. Look in verse number 24. And he said, God, that would be the Elohim of the Old Testament, that would be the Jehovah of the Old Testament. God made the worlds and all things that are therein. It goes on down through there that this God is not worshipped with man's hands and so forth. He hath made of one, verse 26, made of blood of all nations of men to dwell upon the face of the earth. He's determined the times beforehand appointed, their habitation. That shows his sovereignty. Verse 27, that they may seek the Lord, and happily they may feel after him and find him. So now you've had God, you've had the Lord. And verse 28, for in him, that is in God, in the Lord, we live and move and have our being. In the Greek, God is Theos. In the Greek, Lord is Kyrios. But in him, that is in God, in the Lord, we live and move and have our being. Then look how it refers to God in verse number 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, We ought not to think that the Godhead, what does he mean by the Godhead? He means the Father and the Son and the Spirit. He means the triunity of God. And then he sums it up in verse number 31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now that man is Christ, and hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Who is it that he has raised from the dead? That is the Kyrios. And who raised him from the dead is him. It is the Father who raised the Son from the dead. Paul is very clear that God is one and yet he is distinct. He is the Godhead. And Paul preached this fundamental doctrine to the philosophical yet lost Athenians. And what he is saying to them is to know that God is one and yet God is three is fundamental to understanding truth. And to deny that God is three and that God is one is to deny the very God of the Bible. And we see and we know this by his names. One other place, and I'll stop. Go back with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus is just beginning his ministry. And I want you to look at verse number 18. This comes from Isaiah, Isaiah 42. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And then look at this in the middle of the verse. He hath sent me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So there is God the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to preach to the brokenhearted and so on and so forth. Now, in Isaiah 48 and verse 16, I won't take you back to look at it. I wanted to, but my time is gone. In 48 of Isaiah and 16, so you can write it down. This is the messianic voice, but he said, the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. He has sent by the Father, he has sent by the Son, and he has sent by the Spirit, and he has sent into this world. Then Isaiah 61, which is also in Isaiah 42, and in Isaiah 61, and here in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Lord hath sent me. It's very clear. The Lord has said to my Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. The Lord God in his Spirit hath sent me to deny the reality, the eternality, the equality, the distinctness of the three and one God is to deny the God of the Bible. So when we come John 17 and verse 1, and the Son speaks to the Father, it is totally consistent with everything we know about the Scriptures. God the Father purposed and imputed the righteousness that God the Son earned. And God the Spirit enlightens the mind to embrace this righteousness as all there is to their salvation. We worship yet not righteousness, but we worship the Lord our righteousness. And who is that? Well, of course, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. All we can do is exclaim, how great thou art.